Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Pascal Donoghue, the Minister for Finance, is with me now. Minister, you're welcome to the show. How would you describe Budget 2026?
It is a budget that is about investing in our country's future. It has a level of investment in Ireland next year that rises to 19 billion euro, which is the way in which we want to deliver more homes, invest in our water, our energy, in our public transport, to give us the best way of keeping the jobs we have in our country and getting more at a time in which our world is both volatile and increasingly turbulent.
And is that the way to understand the decisions made in the context of that turbulence?
Yes, I'll be relating many of the different arguments and points that I know you'll put to me about that level of investment. At 19 billion euro, it is a level of investment that is at a near historic high within our economy. The effect of that investment is to offset much of the growth that we had lost due to the impact of tariffs. And then the key elements of our tax package are about how we can inject more apartment building into our economy and how we can support businesses and jobs of different kinds. So this is the first budget of five, Ciarán, and it does contain within us priorities that I'm making the case for.
Yeah, so some of those things some of the decisions today are ends in and of themselves, you know, like things like mortgage relief or a renter's tax credit or what have you. Some of them are a means to an end. So the VAT reduction for those apartment builders, or the VAT reduction as well for some of the hospitality. What's the metric for success when it comes to both of them?
So the metric for success with regard to the hospitality sector is we've 155,000 jobs within that part of our economy. 85% of them are within very small businesses. And during the duration of this change, I would want to see that figure at least maintained. On your question in relation to apartment completion, we have around 90,000 apartments within our country that have planning permission but are not actually being built at the moment. And I would hope that this change with regard to VAT will create the environment in which at least a good portion of them will be built.
Let's stick with the hospitality cut then as well. So those who are opposed to it, including SIPTU and ICTU and some others, contend that there are more people working in the industry today than when the Restaurants Association and others began this campaign for a reduction in the VAT rate.
Indeed, but there are also more people working in our economy overall.
But if the metric for your success is simply maintaining the numbers working in it, I mean, had you done nothing today, the trends would suggest there were already going to be more people working in the industry in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time?
No, well, so my expectation is if I had done nothing at all, that we would have seen the share that hospitality has of our total number of people at work within our economy begin to decline. And the reason why I don't want to see that happen is the small and medium-sized businesses, and in particular the very small businesses that I referenced earlier on, many of them are concentrated out of our larger cities, and they play a really important role in so-called regional employment. In other words, employment outside of our cities where there tend not to be other many big employers located, and I want to protect us.
Was there not a better way of protecting them? Because, I mean, it's absolutely true that those industries exist. And if you're in a small village and you've got one cafe, it's massively impactful to go from 1 to 0, more than it is somewhere else to go from 10 restaurants to 9. I mean, I challenge you to book a restaurant or a seat in a table in a restaurant in Kilkenny this weekend. You won't be able to because it's jam-packed, and it's jam-packed in lots of Dublin as well. And yet all those restaurants and McDonald's here on Grafton Street in the city centre, in the capital city, they are all getting the same tax break.
So we think around 0.4% of the total hospitality sector could be described as a very large employer. And out of the many of the large employers that are there, many of them are franchises. So that means they're owned by entrepreneurs, by business people within our own country, who are employing people within our own country.
Yeah, but they don't need. I'm not knocking them, but do they need a tax break?
Whenever you make any change with regard to taxation, there will always be some who might need it in the way that others do. And as I said, the total number of big businesses within hospitality is small. The vast majority of the businesses that are there are small businesses, many of which are located outside of our smaller, of our bigger cities.
Not all of them. Some of them we've counted small businesses and they're located in our cities and they're very, very busy and they don't need a tax break. I just wonder whether you investigated the possibility of targeting supports at some of those that you say need the help.
So, of course I did. But when it comes to tax law, you don't have the ability to exempt businesses of a certain size from a taxation decision. You have to treat all businesses the same, regardless of their size, particularly when it comes to VAT. And the alternative is to be bringing in, you know, schemes, Ciarán, where you're trying to target and support businesses of a particular size. But if you do that, firstly, you're dealing with a hospitality sector in which the majority of businesses in the first place are already small, and then you will always have issues with businesses who are left outside of any parameters that you set. And the total number of businesses who could be described as big businesses within hospitality is really small.
When it comes to the VAT rate then for the apartment buildings, as you mentioned, the metric for success there is that it encourages more of those to be built, which everybody would accept that we need. And what if that doesn't happen?
Well, I believe it will have a very positive impact. But of course, with any changes you make, there are always risks, Ciarán, and to pretend otherwise would simply not be honest with you. But that's why it's not the only measure that we have with regard to housing in our budget. At the same time, we are increasing the total capital funding that is available for the overall Department of Housing. It's gone up by nearly one fifth. And as part of doing that, for example, it will enable the delivery of approximately 10,200 social homes within our country. And we have many other measures that we are putting in place to try to support the private sector in the delivery of houses.
But in doing that and continually trying to improve the lot of those investing in the private sector, is one of the consequences not that do you cause a delay in investment? That big firms who can invest in anything, anywhere in the world will say, you know what, don't invest in Ireland yet, because that continually gets more lucrative and lucrative. Just hold off and it'll be better again in a year's time.
So I think that is a very important question, that you want to avoid changing your taxation regime so often that it creates an incentive for those to wait. And I'd say two things in relation to that. The first one is, I've made very clear that the VAT with regard to apartments is going to be unchanged across a five-year period. So okay. I've made that crystal clear. It's not going to go down any lower. But I'm also saying I've no plans to increase it to make it any higher. So I'm trying to create that certainty in relation to VAT on apartments over a five-year period. And secondly, the truth of it, Ciarán, is we don't have at the moment the degree of private capital within our economy in the first place that will allow us to deliver 40, 50, 60,000 homes year after year after year. The challenge is that private capital, for different reasons, is located elsewhere or is increasingly not involved in building homes in the first place. And that is why these kind of changes, I believe, are needed.
And there are those in the opposition who would accept that private capital doesn't exist, but their suggestion would be that some of the money that goes into rainy day funds and what have you, that that's what should be spent on building houses, the state or local authorities directly building them.
And I'd say two things in return to that. The first thing I would say is the level of increase that we have in the Department of Housing's budget now. They're now up to €7.1 billion. It's an increase of a fifth. The state will be involved either directly or indirectly involved in the construction of 10,000 homes. So the state is already playing a very large role now in the delivery of homes, of apartments, of houses within our country. And then secondly, with regard to the surplus, we do have a large surplus this year. At the moment, we're estimating it to be €10 billion. But next year, our surplus will be slightly lower versus what I would have expected. And we are doing that to in turn deliver the 19 billion euro that I mentioned to you earlier on, because we have to have a more credible plan regarding investment in our economy in the next 5 years. And in order to do that, Ciarán, you've asked me many important questions regarding trade-offs, but those questions are also about what I can do to then give an assurance that that 19 billion euro is going to stay in place.
Yeah, we've spoken to a number of different people already on the show, and we will continue to do so. And it's not universal criticism by any means in the budget. And Danny McCoy, for example, of IBEC, was here a few minutes ago, a broadly welcoming of lots of different measures. Susan Hayes-Cullerton from our own stable here in News Talk, you know, pointed out things that she thinks will work well, and others maybe she has questions about. There is an emerging narrative, not the only one, but an emerging narrative, and I just wonder what your response to it is. And it's that the hard-working person, the person who gets up early in the morning, is going to get up early tomorrow morning and they're going to have to fill their fuel tank, and it's going to cost them more money, and they're not going to be materially any better off. They might be materially worse off under this budget, and they see tax breaks for McDonald's and property developers. That's how they'll see it. Your response?
Three things. Firstly, incomes within our country are going up. Incomes in our country are going up because we have a growing economy and due to the hard work of your listeners. That's the reason they're going up. And we can expect to see, after tax, the amount of money that people are earning in the years ahead go up as inflation stabilises at 2%. The second thing I'd say, Ciarán, is the very hard-pressed listeners that you're referring to, that I represent, that I serve, are the same listeners that want us to build more homes, that want us to see a better job with regard to disability, that want us to see a better job with making sure we have the right therapists in our schools to help those young girls and boys who need additional support at the start of their lives. In order to do that and do that properly, it does mean trade-offs. It does mean we can't do everything in a single budget, which is what you've allowed me to explain in this interview. And then finally, with regard to carbon taxation, I understand why an imposition of 2 cents per litre is indeed a challenge for many, and I accept that. But what I'd say in return is that additional 2 cents per litre then gives us the money that we need to deliver better retrofitting of homes in Ireland, to help our farmers move to more sustainable farming practices, and for us to invest more in public transport. And it's just not honest to be able to say to your listeners, we can do that without having to find a way for paying for it.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, thanks for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4. On News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.